Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Welcome to Building Passive Income. I'm CREI Colin, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fundamental concepts in commercial real estate investing, understanding the difference between primary, secondary, and tertiary markets. And I've got to tell you, this is one of those topics that seems simple on the surface. But the more you dig into it, the more nuanced it becomes. And getting this right is absolutely critical because your market selection will impact everything. Your returns, your risk profile, your exit strategy, your financing options, even your day-to-day management experience. So let's start with the basics. What exactly defines these different market tiers? Well, the most common way to categorize markets is by population size. But that's really just the starting point. There's so much more to it than that. Primary markets. These are your major metropolitan areas. We're talking about cities like New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, Washington, D.C., Seattle, Miami. These are typically markets with populations over 1 million people, often several million. But it's not just about size. Primary markets have several defining characteristics. First, they have highly diverse economies. You're not dependent on one or two industries. New York has finance, media, tech, healthcare, education, tourism. The list goes on. If one sector struggles, others can pick up the slack. This economic diversity creates stability, which is why institutional investors love these markets. Second, primary markets have extensive infrastructure. Multiple airports, often international hubs. Comprehensive public transportation systems. Major highways and rail connections. This infrastructure supports business activity and quality of life, which attracts both companies and talent. Third, these markets attract institutional capital. Pension funds, insurance companies, REITs, sovereign wealth funds, they all want exposure to primary markets. Why? Because these markets offer liquidity. If you need to sell a property in Manhattan or downtown LA, you'll have buyers. That liquidity reduces risk in the eyes of institutional investors. Fourth, primary markets have established professional infrastructure for real estate. You've got sophisticated property management companies, experienced brokers, established legal and accounting firms that specialize in commercial real estate. Everything you need is readily available. Now, what are the advantages of investing in primary markets? Well, the biggest one is stability. These markets don't typically see wild swings in value. They're less volatile. During the 2008 financial crisis, yes, primary markets got hit, but they also recovered faster than most secondary and tertiary markets. You also get lower cap rates in primary markets, which might sound like a disadvantage, but it actually reflects lower perceived risk. A 4% cap rate in San Francisco means the market views that investment as very stable. And when you go to sell, that stability attracts buyers, which means better liquidity. Another advantage is tenant quality. In primary markets, you're often dealing with national or international tenants with strong credit. That reduces your default risk. But let's talk about the downsides because they're significant. First and foremost, the barrier to entry is high. Properties in primary markets are expensive. You need serious capital to play in these markets. A small multifamily building in a decent neighborhood in New York or San Francisco could easily run you tens of millions of dollars. Second, competition is fierce. You're competing against institutional investors with massive resources, sophisticated analytics, and relationships that go back decades. As an individual investor or small operator, you're at a disadvantage. Third, while primary markets offer stability, they offer lower cash-on-cash returns. That 4% cap rate I mentioned? After debt service and expenses, your actual cash flow might be pretty modest. You're betting on appreciation more than cash flow. Okay, so that's primary markets. Now let's talk about secondary markets. These are your up-and-coming cities. Places like Austin, Nashville, Raleigh, Denver, Charlotte, Phoenix, Portland, Salt Lake City. These markets typically have populations between 250,000 and 1 million, though some larger secondary markets might push past a million. Secondary markets are really interesting because they often represent a sweet spot for many investors. They offer better cash flow than primary markets, but they still have professional infrastructure and institutional interest. Let's talk about what defines secondary markets. First, they typically have strong growth trajectories. These are markets that are attracting people and businesses from primary markets. Why? Usually because of lower costs, better quality of life, business-friendly environments, or specific industry clusters. Take Austin, for example. It's become a major tech hub, attracting companies and workers from Silicon Valley. Nashville has a diverse economy with healthcare, music, tourism, and increasingly, tech. These markets have momentum. Second, secondary markets usually have good infrastructure, though not as extensive as primary markets. They'll have an airport, though maybe not a major international hub. They'll have highways connecting them to other markets. They might have some public transit, though it's often limited compared to primary markets. Third, secondary markets are increasingly attracting institutional capital, but there's still room for smaller investors to compete. You're not going up against Blackstone on every deal. There's more opportunity to find value-add plays and off-market deals. The advantages of secondary markets are compelling. First, you get better cash-on-cash returns. Cap rates in secondary markets might be 5.5% to 7%, which means better cash flow after debt service. You're not just betting on appreciation, you're generating income. Second, acquisition costs are lower. You can get into deals with less capital. A property that would cost $50 million in a primary market might cost $15 million in a secondary market. Third, there's less competition. Yes, institutional investors are active in secondary markets, but there's more room for smaller operators to find opportunities. Fourth, many secondary markets have strong growth potential. If you pick the right market at the right time, you can see significant appreciation on top of your cash flow. But there are risks. The biggest one is economic concentration. Many secondary markets rely heavily on one or two industries. If that industry struggles, the whole market can suffer. Austin is heavily dependent on tech. Nashville has a lot of healthcare exposure. You need to understand these concentrations. Second, secondary markets can be more volatile than primary markets. They might grow faster, but they can also decline faster if conditions change. Third, exit liquidity is lower than primary markets. You'll have buyers, but the pool is smaller. It might take longer to sell, and you might have to be more flexible on price. Now let's talk about tertiary markets. These are smaller cities and towns, typically under 250,000 people. Places like Fargo, North Dakota, or Macon, Georgia, or Wichita, Kansas. These markets are often overlooked by institutional investors, which creates both opportunities and challenges. Tertiary markets are characterized by smaller populations, less diverse economies, limited infrastructure, and minimal institutional investment. But here's the thing. For the right investor with the right strategy, tertiary markets can be incredibly profitable. The advantages? First, you can find the highest cash-on-cash returns in tertiary markets. Cap rates might be 8% to 10% or even higher. Why? Because there's more risk, so the market demands higher returns. Second, there's very little competition from institutional investors. They simply don't operate in these markets. That means less competition for deals and more negotiating leverage. Third, local relationships matter more in tertiary markets than anywhere else. If you're from the area or you build strong local connections, you can have a huge advantage. You'll hear about deals before they hit the market. You'll understand local dynamics that outsiders miss. Fourth, acquisition costs are low. You can get into commercial real estate in tertiary markets with relatively modest capital. But the risks are substantial. First, economic vulnerability. Many tertiary markets depend on one major employer or one industry. If that employer leaves or that industry declines, the whole market can collapse. I've seen tertiary markets lose 20 or 30% of their population over a decade because a major factory closed. Second, tenant turnover can be high. In smaller markets, your tenant pool is limited. If a tenant leaves, it might take a long time to find a replacement. Third, exit liquidity is a major concern. When you're ready to sell, who's going to buy? The buyer pool in tertiary markets is small. You might have to hold longer than you planned or accept a lower price than you hoped for. Fourth, property management can be challenging. There might not be professional property management companies in the market. You might have to self-manage or work with less experienced managers. So here's my take on market selection. There's no universally best market tier. It depends on your goals, your resources, and your risk tolerance. If you're looking for stability, you have significant capital, and you're okay with lower cash-on-cash returns in exchange for appreciation potential and liquidity, primary markets make sense. If you want a balance of cash flow and growth potential, you have moderate capital, and you're willing to accept some volatility, secondary markets are probably your sweet spot. If you're willing to be hands-on, you're comfortable with higher risk, you want maximum cash flow, and you have strong local knowledge or connections, tertiary markets can work. But here's what I really want you to understand. Most successful investors diversify across market types. They might have core holdings in primary markets for stability, growth plays in secondary markets for appreciation potential, and opportunistic deals in tertiary markets for cash flow. This diversification strategy helps balance risk and return. When primary markets are hot and cap rates are compressed, you might focus more on secondary and tertiary markets where you can still find value. When secondary markets are overheated, you might shift to primary markets for stability or tertiary markets for yield. The key is understanding what you're getting into. Don't chase returns in a tertiary market if you're not prepared for the risks and the hands-on management required. Don't overpay in a primary market just because it feels safe. You still need the numbers to work. Do your homework on each market. Understand the economic drivers, the population trends, the competitive landscape, the regulatory environment. Visit the market. Talk to local brokers and property managers. Get a feel for the place. And remember, within each market tier, there's huge variation. Not all primary markets are created equal. San Francisco and Detroit are both primary markets, but they're very different investments. Same with secondary and tertiary markets. Your job as an investor is to find markets that align with your strategy, where you can identify opportunities, and where you can execute effectively. That might be a primary market, a secondary market, a tertiary market, or a mix of all three. All right, that wraps up today's discussion. Keep learning, keep analyzing, and keep building that passive income. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free passive investor coaching program at passiveinvestorcoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.